Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mercia podcast. I'm Helen Knight, Tax Senior Manager here at Mercia, and today I've got with me James Hurst, who is our resident VAT expert. So today's podcast, it's Tax Administration and Maintenance Day. So I was waiting on my computer with bated breath this morning, refreshing any links I could find. And surprisingly enough, only four announcements within kind of the summary today. We're sort of expecting a few more. Certainly the fact that it was announced so far ahead on Budget Day led us to sort of think that we were going to be having a few more announcements. But just the four things to talk about. The first one of those, probably the main issue, well, the main bit of news to come out of Tax Administration and Maintenance Day is the release of a consultation document on the VAT treatment for private hire vehicles. So James, let me bring you in. What's kind of the key issue that this consultation document's dealing with?
Yeah, thanks, Helen. Well, I think just to set the scene about the private hire vehicle and taxi sector before we get into the detail, and just to be clear about what we're talking about here. According to the document that's been published this morning, there are getting on for 300,000 licensed taxis and private hire vehicles in England in 2023. And around 80% of these vehicles are private hire vehicles. So there's very much a distinction between taxis, or the hackney carriage, to use a very traditional term that's still reflected in the legislation, i.e. your sort of typical black cab London taxi, which is the sort of vehicle that you can hail on the street or go to a taxi rank and pick up a taxi. And then this document is really focused today, this consultation by HMRC, on private hire vehicles, which I am mini cabs. There are other terms for them. And these are the vehicles that you can't hail on the street. You have to book them through a licensed private hire vehicle operator. So you have to sort of pre-book the vehicle, and then they have licensed drivers, licensed operators. And there's, in a sense, there's the same VAT treatment in that the law says that taxi rides are subject to VAT in principle. But what's emerged over the last few years is quite a debate, and then that's been reflected in various cases in the courts, about the precise VAT arrangements that various private hire vehicle operators have entered into, and in particular, a point about agency and principle. Now, this is one of those technical areas that comes up in VAT from time to time and quite often causes difficulty. It can get quite complicated. But in essence here, with private hire vehicles, what's been happening is that a lot of private hire vehicle operators have been saying, when we take the booking from the customer, we're just acting as agent for the self-employed driver. And so we're just liable for VAT on our agency commission that we charge to the driver. So when we collect the fare, say it's £10 fare, we collect in that £10, we remit £8 to the driver, for argument's sake, which is their income, and we keep £2. That £2 represents our agency commission, and we are only required to account for VAT on the £2, not the full £10. And so this has been an area of debate with HMRC for a period of time, and there have been a few cases going back, partly in relation to the employment status of the driver.
Let me just take a step back and check my understanding of this as much as anything. So our issue here then, who's making this apply to the customer, the PHV or private hire vehicle driver or the operator? And why that's become an issue is because, am I right in thinking that the drivers are typically not VAT registered, so wouldn't be charging VAT, but the operators are often VAT registered because they've got much higher turnover. Is that right?
Yes, and as we know, from 1st of April this year, the VAT registration threshold went up to 90,000. So that's the new figure we need to bear in mind of taxable turnover. So it's really this whole agency principle concept that comes up from time to time in VAT is about who's actually making the supply, therefore whose income is it, what income is taxable, and so on. So this has been quite a theme over the last year or so in a number of significant cases coming through the courts, just to put the sort of private hire vehicle issue to one side for a moment. There was a big case last year with the operator of the OnlyFans website, where individuals provide content which is then made available through the OnlyFans website to people who want to buy that content. And the website operator was assessed for VAT on the full value of the income that they took in from the fans, the customers. And they argued against it, and it went all the way through to the European Court, in fact. And the court said, no, the purpose of the legislation here is that if the website operator is setting the value of the charges, collecting the money, setting the terms and conditions, doing much more than simply acting as an intermediary to introduce the provider of the content and the customer, but doing all these other things as well, then they're deemed to be making the supply, and therefore VAT is due on the full value of the payment made by the customer rather than just the commission that's been retained by the website operator. And there are a couple of other cases in other areas as well that sort of echoed this. And so this has been rumbling on for a while. And in the case of private hire vehicles, the high profile case that, or indeed several cases that we've had over the last couple of years have concerned Uber. And this is maybe the sort of most well-known operator in the field. And for a number of years, HMRC were making the case that Uber should account for VAT on the full value of the fare paid by the customer. And they said, no, Uber is acting as principal. And Uber said, no, we're not. We're acting as an agent for the self-employed driver. We're only liable to account for VAT on the commission that we retain. And then the sort of VAT case was put to one side really for several years, whilst an employment law case went through the courts, and in fact ended up in the Supreme Court back in 2021. And the outcome of that case was that the drivers were deemed to be sort of de facto employees of Uber. So that pointed towards Uber acting as principal rather than as agent. And therefore, if you do a read across into the VAT aspect of it, then if Uber is acting as principal, then it's liable for VAT on the full value of the fare. And indeed, what was reported back in the back end of 2022 was that, and this is also following another case that involved Uber in London and Transport for London, where again Uber was deemed to be principal, and the court had said, well, in order for a private hire vehicle operator to accept a fare for a passenger, they must be acting as principal. And so if you put those cases together, what was reported was that Uber paid some £615 million to HMRC to settle their case. And it was reported through the New York Stock Exchange. So that was a matter of public record. And you kind of thought, well, maybe it's all resolved. And then HMRC were commenting that a lot of private hire vehicle operators were then moving towards accounting for VAT as principal on the full value of the fare and not acting as agent. And you kind of thought, oh, maybe that's the end of it. And in fact, then Uber took a case of their own, and they were taking a case against licensing authorities, i.e. local authorities. And the test case here was Uber against Sefton Metropolitan Borough Council. And basically what Uber was seeking to do is saying, well, if we're obliged to act as principal in London as a result of this case with Transport for London, then we want to level up the playing field in the rest of England and Wales by taking this case where we want the High Court to say that private hire vehicle operators ought to, like us, be deemed to be acting as principal and therefore be liable for VAT on the full fare. So they were trying to sort of level it up, as it were. And the outcome of that case was in the middle of 2023, where, broadly speaking, the High Court agreed with Uber. Now, this wasn't a VAT case, but there's a clear read across. And so then at that stage, HMRC started talking about a proposed consultation as to what the effect might be of this. And so HMRC was saying, well, a lot of operators were starting to account for VAT as principal, but there's a degree of uncertainty as to what was going on in the sector. And then there was some news in about August, I think, of last year, 2023, where it was reported that they had paid a VAT assessment of $386 million to HMRC. So that's a further assessment, you know, covering their business model going back over a couple of years, I think, the period was. And so, you know, what was that all about? Well, it's then gradually emerged. And what's happened has been a separate case in the VAT tribunal a couple of months ago that came out in the case of Bolt, who operate a similar app for private hire vehicles, where what's being argued by Bolt and by Uber is that, setting aside the sort of agency principle argument, here's another strand of argument, which is that these private hire vehicle operators are liable for VAT as principal, but under the tour operators margin scheme, which means that they are only required to account for VAT on their profit margin, which, if you kind of think about it, the VAT on their profit margin is in effect the same as VAT on an agency commission basis. So it gets you back to the sort of agency principle result, but by a different route, i.e. the tour operators margin scheme. So you've got that separate litigation going on at the moment.
So just bringing it back to what they're consulting on now. So as a result of the judgments, we're potentially looking at, certainly outside of London, Transport for London have done something differently in terms of their licensing agreements. But outside of London, we're potentially looking at an increase in taxi fares, where these operators are going to have to account for VAT as the principal rather than the agent. So presumably the consultations on sort of the impact of that on consumers and on the operators. Is there anything else in there as well?
Yeah, very, very much so. Because if you think about it, if you've got to sort of add VAT back into the mix, well, someone would have to bear the burden of that VAT. So does that mean an increase in the fare by adding 20% on the fare? Does it mean that the fare remains the same because of market forces? All you can do is charge a market rate. Therefore, someone has to, on the supplier side, has to bear the burden of that fare. So could that mean reduced income for private hire vehicle operators or the drivers themselves because their income gets squeezed? And as you say, it's not just the operators, the suppliers, it's also on the consumers. And this very much runs through the consultation document that's been published this morning. And it talks about, it welcomes contributions from vulnerable consumers, for example, who rely on taxi services, what might be the impact on them. So it's kind of multifaceted in terms of who can contribute to the consultation. And actually what comes across in the document is HMRC and the Treasury are not sure what the impact might be. But the general tone of the document sort of surprised me in a way, because at several stages, it talks about mitigating the effect of these various cases that are ongoing at the moment. At the same time, it does say if you're a taxi operator and you want to apply the tour operator's margin scheme and only account for VAT on your margin, well, HMRC strongly disagree with this and will challenge it. And so they don't like that at all. And in fact, they are going to appeal the Bolt decision to the Upper Tier Tribunal. They've been apparently granted leave to appeal that. So they're going to fight that. But at the same time, the general tone of this document, this consultation, is questions like, do we need to change the law, either the transport law or the VAT law, to kind of mitigate the effect of forcing private hire vehicle operators to act as principal? So that I think is an interesting tone to the whole thing.
Absolutely. So it's very much a wait and see. Any interested parties can obviously access the consultation and make responses to it, and then we'll see what comes out of it.
It's a big, as I said, the agency principle is a big topic. It's been a continuing theme in VAT, certainly for the last year or so, and will be going forward, and especially as the way that suppliers change and services move online more and the kind of gig economy and so on. I think it's reflective of how the tax system and the VAT system is always a bit of a step behind and struggles to keep up. And on the one hand, the tax authorities are keen to maintain their revenues and to ensure that services and goods are taxed. But at the same time, you can see that there is a different effect on consumers, and you've got to ensure that there's a level playing field and people are treated fairly. It's an interesting time of development at the moment.
So that consultation is open for a few months. It's open until the 8th of August. The only other consultation that HMRC announced today has a much shorter period. It's only open for 4 weeks until the 15th of May. And that was all around having postcode requirements for employers who are benefiting from national insurance relief. So this is relevant to employers who operate in sort of the special tax sites in free ports and investment zones. Currently, they have a relief in that they're only required to start paying secondary class one national insurance contributions where the employee's earnings exceed $25,000 a year. There's a few requirements for them to meet to that. It's for new employees only in the first 36 months of their employment. And there's also a requirement for them to spend 60% of their working time actually on the tax site. So what this consultation is aiming to do is effectively to prevent erroneous claims by employers. So what they are suggesting is that there is going to be a requirement for employers to provide the postcode of those individuals' workplaces when they are claiming that relief, broadly to check that that individual is truly working on one of these special tax sites where these reliefs are available. So only really relevant are to those where there are employers on the tax sites, potentially a bit of an extra administration there. That was kind of it in terms of consultations and any responses. We were told in the document as well that at some point we are going to get a response to a consultation which was originally launched back in summer 2023 on options to reduce non-compliance in the umbrella companies market. So what this is the original consultation document stated there's sort of 1.7 million temporary workers in the UK. And now some of these are effectively employed by umbrella companies. The umbrella companies employ those individuals on behalf of certain employment businesses or recruitment agencies. So the recruitment agency is the entity which supplies the services of those temporary workers to end clients, but the umbrella company is the legal employer. So there's a certain amount of complexity there, and there's been various feelings like where the government has issued calls for evidence among workers about them having a limited choice as to which umbrella company to work with, and concerns about the level of tax which was borne and who was bearing that tax. There were some concerns that the workers themselves were effectively bearing the umbrella company's national insurance contributions. So we haven't had, it's basically no news at the moment, but we have an expectation that responses to that consultation will be published in the near future, together with some new guidance for those umbrella companies as well. The final thing, which was another announcement of something to come in the future, again, we're back on VAT, aren't we, James?
Yes, we are indeed, Helen. And again, it seems to be the way of the things, these things, rather than sort of publishing a consultation and say, here it is, you get this sort of trailer, don't you, for it in advance, saying, we will be consulting on this, it'll be launched later this year. And so you've got to sort of wait, and you don't know quite when it's going to come out. And in this case, the other thing that's been announced then, there's a kind of trailer to whet our appetite, is that there will be a consultation about the VAT treatment of certain charitable donations. And it says specifically that this is a targeted VAT relief for low-value goods, which businesses will donate to charities, for the charities to then give the goods away free of charge to people in need. So again, for those businesses that like to give donations, and for charities who are looking to receive goods that are donated by businesses, then we need to keep an eye on that, and hopefully we will see that one soon.
So yes, very short and sweet announcements for tax administration and maintenance today. As always, any consultations which have been launched, any responses which have been received, are often covered in our update courses. So at the moment, we've got a spring tax update. So later in early summer, we have got our Finance Act updates running. Lots to talk about in those, multiple acts and finance bills to discuss. And then, James, I believe you're currently running some spring updates from a VAT perspective as well.
Yes, the first VAT spring update is next Thursday, the 25th of April. And then there's probably one a week for a couple of months, really, through into June with those updates. And I will certainly be going away and having a detailed look at this consultation document in relation to private hire vehicles, and working that into the spring VAT update, Helen.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, James. And as we say, please do feel free to go and access some of those courses and other resources on the Mercia website. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Mercia podcast. For more information on this topic, please visit mercia-group.com.